Today is the fourth Sunday of Lent. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are said by an allegory. For these are the two testaments, the one from Mount Sinai engendering unto bondage, which is Agar, for Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which hath affinity to that Jerusalem which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For many are the children of the desolate, more than of her that hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born according to the flesh persecuted him that was after the Spirit, so also it is now. But what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free, by the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 6. At that time, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus, therefore, went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Pasch, the festival day of the Jews, was near at hand. When Jesus, therefore, had lifted up his eyes, and seen that a very great multitude cometh to him, he said to Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, saith to him, There is a boy here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are these among so many? Then Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to them that were set down, in like manner also of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, lest they be lost. They gathered up, therefore, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above to them that had eaten. Now those men, when they had seen what a miracle Jesus had done, said, This is of a truth the prophet that is to come into the world. Jesus, therefore, knew they would come to take him by force and make him king, fled again into the mountain himself alone. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to them that were set down. In like manner also of the fishes, as much as they would. These words are taken from today's Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, I would like to tell you a true story about an elderly priest who knew of a young family, a young mother and a father, and 2 little children. But the young mother was actually dying of cancer. She had a little boy named Tommy, who was 6 years old, and a little girl, Judy, who was about 4. The 2 little ones and the father surrounded the bed of the dying mother. All of them had tears in their eyes, for they had just received the news that there was no hope to save her. The cancer was too far advanced. And so little Judy placed her mother's hand into her own tiny hands, and she said to her, "Mommy, what are we going to do when you are gone?" Her mother was deeply touched by the tender love of her daughter, and she said, "Don't worry, Judy, somebody else will take care of you. You will have everything that you will need." But little Judy's big blue eyes welled up with tears. Even though she was only 4 years old, the little one understood she was losing her mother. She pressed her mother's hand closer to her heart, and between sobs, little Judy said, "No, Mommy, we won't have everything that we will need. We won't have you." Little Judy knew how much her mother loved her and how much she would miss the love that only her mother could give her. Instinctively, this 4-year-old little girl knew how precious is the heart of a mother. And so in her childlike innocence, little Judy asked her mother to do something. She said, "Mommy, please take out your heart and leave it here, because your heart means everything in the world to us." My dear friends, what that dying mother could not do for her little Judy, our blessed Savior has done for us. The mother could not leave her heart behind for her family. But our Lord and Savior, true God and true man, has left his most sacred heart in the Blessed Sacrament. And in the Gospel for today's Mass, we read St. Luke's account of the events which took place before our Lord's famous discourse on the Holy Eucharist. You see, our Lord went out into a desert place to give some rest for his apostles. He wanted to give them a little treat, a retreat, so to speak. A little respite from their dealings with the many crowds of people. But instead, what happened was the people followed him into the desert place. In fact, it was a great multitude that followed him. According to the Gospels, the number of men was about 5,000, not including women and children. It is likely, one commentary says, that at least 10,000 people were present. And so enamored were they with Christ and his miracles that they forgot to pack any food with them. And thus the sight of those poor people starving in the desert moved the Sacred Heart of Jesus to have compassion on them. He knew they were hungry. And so he would use this occasion, which from a natural point of view seemed to be somewhat of a terrible ordeal. Thousands of men, women, and children starving in the wilderness. He would use this to manifest his divine power and at the same time teach the sublime doctrine of the Eucharist. But first he would test his apostles, for as the Gospel says, our Lord knew what he would do. He asked Philip, one of his apostles, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And Philip, being very practical, told our Lord that there was not enough money to buy bread for all of them. Meanwhile, Andrew, St. Peter's brother, had found a boy who had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But he asked our Lord, "What are these among so many?" The apostles had looked at the situation from a nearly natural point of view. And they seem to have forgotten that our Lord was with them. Our divine Savior also asked them these questions in order to prove that there was no way to feed the people without the resources at hand. And so our Lord commanded first that the people recline in the grassy area of the desert place. And then, giving thanks to his heavenly Father, our Lord had the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes distributed to the people. But in doing this, he multiplied the loaves and the fishes so that there was enough to feed the hungry crowd. And not just enough, but more than enough. The people ate as much as they wished, and the apostles had fragments left over. So much so that they gathered up the fragments and they filled 12 baskets. Now, our divine Savior performed this miracle for many reasons, but there are 2 that I would like to point out. The first is that he did this in order to show his great love and compassion for men. His Sacred Heart was moved with compassion for them. He saw them starving, and they would have fainted in the way if they returned to their homes. And so he provided for them the food they needed. Another reason he did this was to prepare the people for the doctrine he was about to preach to them the very next day. For after they were fed in the desert by the miraculous loaves and fishes, the multitude found our Lord in the city of Capernaum, and there he delivered to them his discourse on the Holy Eucharist. He declared to them that he was the bread of life that had come down from heaven. And he said, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you." And then, making it very clear and in no uncertain terms, he solemnly declared, "He who eats my flesh and drinketh my blood hath life everlasting. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." This doctrine, my dear friends, is the doctrine of the Holy Eucharist. It is the teaching of Christ that he, the Son of God made man, is really, truly, and substantially present under the appearances of bread and wine. It is through the words of consecration at Mass that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes down from heaven and is present upon the altar. And when we receive Holy Communion, we are receiving his own body, blood, soul, and divinity. Truly, as our divine Savior looked upon us, as he looked upon that hungry and starving multitude in the desert, his Sacred Heart burns with love for us, and so in his divine wisdom, he has devised a way to feed our souls in this desert of temptation, and even to remain with us until the end of time. He has left his Sacred Heart for us, something that mother in the story could not do for her child. Jesus has left us himself as the pledge of his love, as well as the spiritual nourishment so necessary in fighting the enemies of our soul. St. Alphonsus de Liguori says that our Lord, in giving himself to us in the Blessed Sacrament, gives us all that he has, and nothing more remains for him to give us. Let us then, my dear friends, take advantage of so great a privilege as to receive Holy Communion. The Holy Council of Trent teaches us that Holy Communion is the antidote whereby we may be freed from daily faults and be preserved from mortal sin. Unfortunately, we perhaps at times might receive Holy Communion in a distracted manner, not having made a proper preparation. Or if we do receive with devotion, we may not make a proper thanksgiving afterwards. In his decree on Holy Communion, Pope St. Pius X said, one should take care that Holy Communion be preceded by a careful preparation and be followed by an appropriate thanksgiving. Let us then make a proper preparation. We do this by following along in the prayers of the Mass and our Missal, by reminding ourselves often that we are about to receive the Son of God made man, and by asking the Holy Mother of God to prepare us for this sublime privilege. And let us make a proper thanksgiving after Mass. St. Alphonsus de Liguori says, oh, what treasures of grace do they lose who pray but a short time to God after Holy Communion. And so we make a proper thanksgiving by making acts of faith in our Lord's real presence, by expressing our gratitude to Jesus for the love he has shown us in the Blessed Sacrament, and by asking him for the help we need to overcome sin and our evil inclinations. But most especially, ask our Savior to increase the love of God in our hearts so that we may receive the solemn promise he made when he said, he who eats my flesh and drinketh my blood hath life everlasting. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.